This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here is your news on Love Sport.
On 558 AM, online, on your smart speaker, and on digital radio. This is Love Sport News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7. Jeremy Corbyn's denied calling Theresa May a stupid woman in the Commons, although that's not the view of lip readers. The Labour leader insists he was being general and used people instead. But experts say his mouth movements didn't match that word at all. SNP leader Nicola Sturgeon says the outrage expressed in Parliament is unhelpful.
If he said that, he should apologise and then everybody should move on, because frankly these issues right now are a distraction from the main issue, which is working out how we find a way through this sorry Brexit mess.
A fraudster who exploited the Grenfell Tower fire and the Manchester Arena and London Bridge terror attacks has been jailed for 3 years. Ruxana Ashraf from Edinburgh made more than 50 false claims. The 44-year-old said she'd been caught up in all of the tragedies. Labour's suspended MP Fiona Onasanya and say she should resign after she was convicted of lying to police to avoid a speeding charge. Her car was recorded doing 41 miles per hour in a 30 zone near Peterborough last summer. The 35-year-old is now facing a possible jail sentence. Our reporter Ender Brady is at the Old Bailey.
The prosecution here produced mobile phone evidence to show that her phone was actually in use in the vicinity of that speed camera at the time in question. So the jury have now found her guilty. Then the judge in the case, he said simply, we will see each other again in January.
Theresa May says she's still committed to bringing annual net migration down to the tens of thousands. The Home Secretary refused to repeat the pledge earlier as he set out plans for post-Brexit immigration policy. A top US legal official has filed a lawsuit against Facebook over the Cambridge Analytica scandal. The Attorney General in Washington, D.C. says the social media giant allowed the firm to improperly access data from as many as 87 million people. And It's a Wonderful Life has been voted our favourite Christmas film. Elf came second in a poll by Radiotimes.com. That's the latest. I'm Annie Green.
Known originally as the Glaziers, this club are far from fragile. They've been building their nest in Selhurst Park. And the Eagles are ready to swoop in and bring out the claws this season. It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport.
Good evening, listening to Love Sport Radio, the Crystal Palace Fan Show. Jay Watson joined by Humble and DR. Chaps, you're obviously fully aware I'm a Leicester City fan. So before we get into any of that, let's talk about more interesting matters.
All right.
Diaz just tried a bottle of Dr. Pepper.
He did, yeah.
So, Hamba, explain why this is a moment, and a moment so important you've just filmed.
So, a couple of weeks ago, DR, like he does, he likes to have opinions about things without actually trying them or
any substance.
Yeah, any substance at all. He likes to form an opinion, like most teenagers do. And he disrespected Dr. Pepper live on our show. Well, it's a recorded show. I keep forgetting we're not live. But he... And it caused a reaction. Probably the biggest in 10 years of doing our show.
That was the most
contact we've ever had from anybody. And we had just so much contact come in saying, most, I'd say 90% was, what is he talking about? Dr. Pepper's lovely. And there was a rogue 10% in support of DR saying he doesn't need to try it. He's absolutely right.
Yeah. So you had an opinion on Dr. Pepper. It was a strong one. You'd never had it before.
Yes.
So your opinion on it was what you just thought, it's disgusting?
It's old school.
What's wrong with something being old school, dear?
But it's just...
what does that mean, anyway? It's old school.
Who knows?
That means it's bad.
I thought
vintage stuff was cool these days. Retro. Is that
old school?
Like?
Old school hip-hop's the best hip-hop, right?
I thought the retro vintage was bad.
Look, on the bottle, it says, what's the worst thing that could happen? How can you trust a drink that says, like, that has that...
I don't think it describes what it tastes like, though, does it?
Yeah, but I just knew it, and I tasted it.
Yeah, so...
it's the worst...
Serious?
Yeah. Honestly, it's just... What's the point?
You're saying that Dr. Pepper is the worst drink you...
Yeah, it's like out-of-date Coke. I don't know how to describe it.
So, Jake, we talked on our show last week about confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And I think that is a prime example of confirmation bias there. He formed an opinion.
Absolutely.
He was never going to let himself believe anything else.
You know what it is? It's like when you're watching football and the commentator says something, and then he's got it wrong, and they'll do like a slow-mo replay... And it's then confirmed he's got it wrong, but he sticks with his opinion.
Exactly.
Oh, there's not a lot in it. That's what you've done.
Look, you know you're wrong.
I had a headache. You've been found out to be wrong, but you're being stubborn.
No. I had a headache before it, and now I feel worse. Like, my head is about to explode. Honestly, it's the worst thing I've had. And I stick by
it's basically cherry Coke, dear. Do you like cherry Coke?
No.
Oh.
One thing is, though, the really important thing is that... Our producer, Mikey, wanted to make sure I got it on video, because we can analyse that video and see what he really thinks. The words are coming out, but there was a lovely smile on his face the second he hit his lips.
And then he pretended he didn't want to
go in for a second goal, but he went straight in for it.
Well, look, mate, it's on film. It's on camera, so everyone can
watch it. Yeah.
We can form our own opinions for it and discount yours.
But honestly, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
quick suggestion then, actually. Yeah. Paddy, there needs to be some jingle bells in the Glad All Over. You know, you'll sort that out, mate.
We'll see if we can get that sorted for later on. So if anyone wants to see this video of DR trying Dr. Pepper for the very first time, where can we find that?
Currently, it's on the Back of the Nest Facebook page. So if you can search that out on Facebook. I dare say we will be sharing that around Twitter. So obviously on the Back of the Nest Twitter. We'll obviously send it to Love Sport as well. So
yeah, but people comment and then we'll have a look. And then DR, the people will tell you. They will tell you if you're lying on camera.
No, I think people are wrong.
Honestly, my
honest opinion of this is, no. I'm never trying it again.
Okay. Still got the bottle in his hand, Jake.
Yes, he does. Right, I think that's enough, Dr. Pepper, and I think I've been avoiding the situation for long enough. Crystal Palace, they beat Leicester City 1-0. Thoughts before... I'll try not to obviously influence or jump in and disagree too much, but... What were your thoughts on that win?
I think it was a terrible game of football.
I agree with that.
It really was. The conditions were pretty poor. You know, we'd had one win in 11. And to be honest, if you're gonna look at history and pick the opposition, I think it probably would have been Leicester, because we've got a decent recent record against you.
You spanked us, if that's the correct term, on both games last season, didn't
you? That's it. And I think three in a row now where you haven't scored against us at home. So I think the omens were there, and for once, it all kind of sided with us. Obviously, Zaha not in the team, and we still managed to win. That hadn't happened since September 16, I believe.
I think it was against Sunderland or Everton.
Yeah,
Simon Pienaar, he was there.
Wow. I mean, don't get me wrong. I knew it'd been a long time. It just makes me feel even worse. I mean. Honestly and truly, though, you know, taking the whole Zaha situation, the fact that you did win the game and Leicester did somehow lose, do you think you deserve to win that game?
On balance, 1-0 at half time was fine.
Yeah,
we were poor second half, and we were indebted to our goalkeeper for it not being a draw. And I think if it had been 1-1 at full time, I couldn't have complained. But I think that if someone had to win it, I think it's fair that it was us. But I would say that, wouldn't I?
You would. What would you say, DR?
I think we got a bit lucky. If you guys actually decided to turn up, I think you lot would have actually managed to get a draw or at least a win. We only had one shot on target the whole game, and it was a good strike from Luca, but it's still worrying in 90 minutes you have one shot on target. So it was not a great performance at all. And it's just, when you look at other teams that we're facing, we've got Man City coming up, we've got Cardiff, just any team in the Premier League, if you play like that and they actually play half decent, we probably wouldn't have got even a point. So I know you have to be a bit lucky in the Premier League, but
well, they say it balances itself out, doesn't it? So yeah. Would you say up until this point, you've there's been a few games you thought you should have got something from, and this was one that maybe it's come back to in a good sense?
Undoubtedly, and Roy said that. I mean, specifically, he was talking about the save from Guaita because the ball rebounded off the inside of the post straight into his hands. I mean,
the odds.
Yeah, that's the bit of luck that we hadn't been getting. Mm. And I think that's a fair comment, and it's an old adage that tends to come true. But I don't know, we're a bit split as a support group at the moment, where I think it's probably the majority aren't with Roy, in the sense that Roy says we've been playing really well, and it's only a couple of blips. You know, the game against Brighton, which is always going to be a bad one if you lose that, especially against 10 men. And then obviously the performance against West Ham as well, where we conceded 3 in quick succession. It was just, I think Roy's view is those were 2 bad games and we've been fine the rest of the season. Whereas I think people more lean on the lines of, well, even though we've played well against the bigger teams, overall our performances haven't been good enough with the squad that we've got. And a lot of that comes down to the system that Roy will not change from.
Yeah. But how important, I know it's something you would have been sick and tired of talking about every time that Zaha was unavailable. How important is it that they can no longer throw that at you? It's certainly for the time being anyway.
Yeah. I think it's good in the player's perspective. You saw it after the game. There was a couple of players that came out and actually said, now there's no more Zaha.
I did see a couple of tweets. Yeah, from that. Was it Van Aanholt?
I think so. Martin Kelly said it as well.
No,
so there's lots of people, there's lots of players after the game actually mentioning it. So it's probably something that was in their head, and now that's gone, it's better next time we don't have Zaha. The players, I think.
Mm. I mean, obviously you're weak without Zaha, but do you know what I mean? The fact that it's not a mental block anymore.
Yeah, I think that, and also I think it will show the team that when Zaha is in there are still alternate ways of playing.
Yeah.
Because obviously when he is in there, and this has been a feature of late as well, we've been trying to hit him, as you should try and get the ball to him as much as you can, because that's where we're most dangerous. But we have shied away from getting other players involved. And when you've got 3 on Zaha, there's space on that pitch somewhere. Mm. And we've been really bad at using it. So I think hopefully this will show that, there's different ways of playing, and knocking it back to Luca to smash one in from 25 yards might not work every time, but it's a viable option. And I think we've been too focused on trying to go down that left-hand side, trying to find Wilf and build from there. And really, if he's been crossing, it's to no one. And if he's been trying to get on the end of a chance, he's really been pushed too far wide. He's got too many people around him. So hopefully, we can build on that.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at Zaha, it's just he hasn't even played that good this season. I think we've over relied on him and over actually played him. So this is a good opportunity. What happened?
I just made a face. Started to disrespect Zaha now. No, is he too old school for you?
Yeah.
No, but he hasn't played good though. What, you think Zaha's played good so far this season?
Yeah.
What? On what basis? On what basis has Zaha played good? I think people expect more from him.
I think you have to look. I think he's done what he can in the position that he's been put in. I think he's been fine. He's had a couple of games where, but no more than usual, where a couple of games where he's been well marked.
We'll continue this debate very shortly. Interesting point there from DR, and I like the fact we've got a little bit of a disagreement going on here. Crystal Palace fans, if you're listening, get in touch. Has Wilfred Zaha actually been that good this season? 0208 7020 558 or send us a tweet at Love Sport Radio.
Love Sport. Love Sport.
I work for a spokesman said.com. We can help you save money on your home insurance. All you need to do is visit a spokesman said.com and find out if we can find you a better deal.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey. There's a story here that reveals what the tasks that get harder for us are as we get older in life. And
stop looking at me. I'm already in a bad mood because they keep sending me texts from the NHS about free flu jabs. You are now of an age where you're like, yeah, all right, I know. It was an awful moment in my life. I realised that all these things I derided, I was actually there now.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey. Join the pack weekdays from 3 p.m. on Love Sport. Love Sport, 5:58 a.m.
Welcome back, Love Sport Radio, the Crystal Palace fan show. Hambo and DR from Back of the Nest joining myself, Jake Watson, in the studio. Before we carry on the Crystal Palace Zaha debate and Leicester review, there are some Carabao Cup games on this evening. The North London Derby, the small matter of that one. The Tottenham side is Gazzaniga in goal, Trippier, Alderweireld, Davies, Rose, Winks, Sissoko, Eriksen, Dele Alli, Lucas Moura and Hyun-Min Son, which means that Harry Kane has dropped to the bench for this one. The Arsenal side is Petr Cech, Maitland-Niles, Socrates, Xhaka, Monreal, Torreira, Guendouzi, Mkhitaryan, Ramsey, Iwobi, Aubameyang, which means that Granit Xhaka is playing centre-half, which should be interesting. I think fortunate, perhaps, not to be playing against Harry Kane. In the other game, Chelsea against Bournemouth. The Chelsea side is Kepa, Azpilicueta, Christensen, Rudiger, Emerson, Fabregas, Kovacic, Barkley, Loftus-Cheek, Willian and Giroud, which means Hazard is on the bench for them. And the Bournemouth side is Boric, Cook, Simpson, Daniels, Ibe, Stanislas, Ake, Rico, Brooks, Wilson and Moussa. Nathan Aki going into a midfield position apparently this evening. But if you didn't know, he did used to play there when he came through the ranks at Chelsea, believe it or not. So we'll keep you updated when those goals go in this evening. It's a 7:45 kickoff. Hambo, have we had any response yet to the Dr. Pepper video online?
No, I was very, very slow to share it because we were distracted. They are daring to disagree with me, basically. That's what we were distracted by. So other than my friend Nav suggesting that it wasn't halal, therefore I shouldn't have had any of it, we're lacking some responses yet. But there's been plenty of people who've had a look, and they're probably just trying to deal with the consequences right now.
Yeah, no, it's a lot to take in, isn't it?
So let's go back to the Zaha debate.
Yeah,
so Hambo, Zaha's got 3 goals and 1 assist so far this season, and you're saying that he's performing as well as he should have, and he shouldn't do better.
I mean, those aren't brilliant stats.
No,
our superstar in the team has only got 3 goals and 1 assist in 14 Premier League games, and that's fine with you. That's
mate, if you're going to start throwing stats at me, I'm going to get really furious. They tell the story you want them to tell. You know, the job that Wilf does in the team. I mean, throughout his entire career at Palace, you can never throw the full effect just by looking at Zaha's stats. It's the chaos he creates, it's the effect he has on the game itself.
I understand.
You're pointing now, all right?
I understand that. I understand that, but it seems like he's lost that as well.
You are basing on the fact that you do see him pretty much every week. So
yeah, over the last couple of games, it seems like, especially against Brighton, against West Ham, where he got that yellow card towards the end, it seems like his emotions are getting the better of him, and we haven't really seen the best of him due to that this season. And yes, you have Well, I think you made a point before we went to the break that he's playing out of position. Yes, that's a valid point, but he still needs to do better for someone at his calibre, and that's worth 6 million apparently.
I'll take your point on Brighton. I think the emotions did get to him that day, but you can't then in that statement apply it to the whole season because it's not true. He definitely had a poor game against Brighton, but there's more than one player who had a poor game against Brighton.
Yeah, I'm not saying whole season. I'm just, if you're looking at his attitude and you look at the Brighton game and the West Ham game, he just doesn't seem like, I don't know, he seems frustrated. I don't know if that's playing out position, but you look at his stats as well, 3 goals, 1 assist from a player who was linked with many of the top six clubs and we value them around 70 million. That's just not good enough.
No, you see, again, I can't agree, because the thing you've stated, first of all, you did say it was he hasn't played well this season, is what you're arguing.
Yeah, okay,
you
can't
go back on that.
Yeah.
But the other point is, you know, he has looked frustrated, you're right. And he's had, if you're saying he's had less of an effect on games, you're right. But that's because the team have been playing incredibly poorly in a lot of those games. And if you look at where things have broken down, it's been nothing to do with whether Zaha's played well or not. It's to do with how the team's come together. It's to do with the fact that we haven't been able to find a way of getting him on the ball in dangerous areas. You know, you're effectively blaming him for the ineffectiveness of the system, and that's what I'm taking. That's what I have opposition to. I don't think Wilf has played badly. I think he's done well when he's had the opportunity to do well.
I think he can do much better. I know he's playing out of position, but still, he can be more effective. He doesn't look as dangerous as
he
was.
At times, under previous seasons, when Crystal Palace haven't been playing well, has he then single-handedly kind of dragged the team up? And is DR maybe suggesting at the moment when the team aren't playing well, he's not quite doing that? Whether he's directly responsible for the results is a separate thing, but it has under previous occasions he has been able to produce something from nothing.
Okay, you could argue that case, but again, I would just refer you back to the system. And again, DR loves stats, so if DR goes and has a look at the heat map for Zaha this season versus the heat map for Zaha last season, and the positions he's taken up this season are far more rigid than they were previously. So the system's changed. You know, he's been effectively told, rather than being a free man playing around Benteke more often than not, and even when he and Townsend were playing up front as they are this season, he was still more of a free role. He's effectively been told this season, you're a forward, you're a striker, and you're going to play as such. So you're going to have to lead the line.
Yeah.
And that's just taken away the whole point of playing him as a forward. When we spoke to Keith Millen on this show before, but previously to that, I spoke with Keith, and we were talking to him about playing Zaha as a forward. And he says it'll only work if you give him a free role. And that's what we did last season. But as soon as you put him in a rigid system,
yeah,
it becomes easier to double up, triple up on him.
So basically having no Benteke or any other kind of, you know, focal point has probably perhaps hindered Zaha in terms of his return of goals, maybe.
Yeah, what I've suggested is, and this is my frustration with Roy and why I have turned against him, to be honest, and I feel that his tactics have negated our best player rather than supported him. And last season, that was a difference. We actually worked the tactics to suit him, whereas now Roy has decided, well, that's the system we're going to go with, and that's the role that you're going to play, rather than look at how we get the best out of him. That's my view.
Is it not maybe more to do with the fact that Benteke's been injured and he's got no faith in the other strikers that he's got, so he's looked at, well, what's the next best option is to put him as a striker, no?
I disagree. If you have Benteke missing, who is meant to be our main striker,
yeah,
you have to make sure the players that are on the pitch play at the best position so you get the best out of them. And I agree with you that Zaha is playing out position, but it's not only Zaha, Andros is playing out position in my opinion as well, and that's not helping us. But it's still, as I said before, with Zaha's case, I'm not full on hating on Zaha. I'm just, so far this season, for a player that has been valued 70 million before the season started and what he's done in previous seasons, you expect him to push on this season. I haven't seen on this season. And him playing out of position, yes, it plays a fact, but he just, as a superstar, you need to, even if the guys around you are playing bad, you need to be the one that, you know, carries the team and show your worth.
I think there's countless examples of superstar players in playing in teams where the system isn't working and they're not playing in the right place of where they've looked ordinary. All I would say, all it needs is a tweak, the system, even without Benteke. All you need is to play Andros as the further forward striker, lead the line, and let Wilf play free behind him. And I think in the spells where we've actually done that, through the course of substitutions and, you know, various enforced personnel changes at times, and Wilf's been in a more of a free position, you've seen him suddenly come back to life. So I think that's what I'm talking about here. I think Wilf can play up front with Andros, but Andros needs to lead the line.
Interesting debate, and what I'm enjoying most about this is that we've completely stopped talking about Leicester City, which is great. It's Love Sport Radio, and this is the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
It's all in the name. Love Sport Radio.
30-30 tennis is the new alternative scoring format that creates shorter matches. The clue is in the name. Every game starts at 30 all. That is 30-30. Best of three sets matches are completed in 40 to 60 minutes and best of five in 60 to 90 minutes. 30-30 or T30 can be described as the younger sporting sibling of cricket's 2020 or T20. For more information, visit 3030tennis.com. That is T-H-I-R-T-Y, then the digits 3 and 0, followed by tennis, all one word, .com.
AsSpokesmanSaid.com is a leading price comparison website that allows you to compare every energy tariff on the market in seconds. We have more deals than any other comparison website offering energy prices, and our impartial, independent switching service is free of charge. Nearly 50% of UK households have switched bills, and there are hundreds to be saved. Visit AsSpokesmanSaid.com and make sure you have the best energy deal in place before winter arrives. As recommended in The Guardian, The Times, and The Sun. AsSpokesmanSaid.com.
Are you frustrated by your job and looking for a new opportunity? At SEHBAC, we are currently looking for talented and driven sales consultants to join our award-winning teams in the Southeast. If you have experience selling windows, doors and conservatories, we want to hear from you. With a fantastic range of benefits and full training provided, SEHBAC has the job that's right for you. For more details or to get in touch, visit SEHBAC.com.
Divorce law proceedings can be frustrating and even seem unfair, especially if you command a high income or you own a business or if you're a man. Men with assets and children depend on their divorce lawyers. It's important to hire a lawyer that has the right skills. Cordell & Cordell works to help men protect their financial assets and the future role they play in their children's lives. Call 0330-6060-161 or visit cordellcordell.co.uk. A partner men can count.
Love Sport. Available on Radio Player and TuneIn Radio for your smartphone. Download now from the App Store and Google Play. Love Sport. 558 AM.
Welcome back, Love Sport Radio, the Crystal Palace fan show. DR and Hambo from Back of the Nest in the studio. We've been debating Wilfred Zaha. Has he been underperforming this season?
Nope.
It's a firm no from Hambo. DR is insistent he has not been bad. He's just maybe could do a little bit more.
I don't help him out.
No, I'm not going to. But
we did lost Hambo.
We're going to revisit this debate later on. So get in touch. 0208 702558 or at Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle that we need to do. We're going to be speaking to former Palace player John Solarco, former Palace legend John Solarco, very shortly. So before we do that, let's kind of wrap up our kind of Leicester review. Deliberately, we've left this part nice and short. In terms of the lineup formation, happy with the way that Roy did it? I suspect, Hambo, you're a no, and DR, you're a yes. Both a no?
No. The formation, I thought he could change it about a bit, as Wilf and Tompkins, it doesn't really matter, but the fact that Wilf was out, but he didn't change it about. And I said it last week on Love Sports Show as well, he's just too stubborn and it will cost him his job. Look, we won the game, yes, but we didn't play that great. Martin Kelly came in for Tompkins. I thought he had a very good game. Jordan Ayew came in for Zaha, and it was a straight swap and the same 4-4-2 formation. So yeah, I was not that pleased with the formation.
Bottom line is, we said it in the run-up to the game, as soon as we knew that Tompkins was out and that Zaha was out, we knew that Ayew would come in and play where Zaha was playing, and we knew that Kelly would come in and play where Tompkins was playing, and the system would stay the same.
Is that a major issue?
It is when it doesn't work, yeah. Mm. And that's the bottom line. It's an opportunity.
What would you have done differently then? Because it just say to me, if your striker's out, you bring Ayew in, it looks a pretty straightforward, you know, changes to make.
I mean, Ayew has not impressed in a Palace shirt for all the running he does. There's a lot of people questioning if he's even a footballer at the moment. what I'm getting at really is it was an opportunity with some enforced changes to look at the system and think, actually, should I, if I'm bringing in Ayew for Zaha, which is the decision that he made and was always going to make,
why don't you think about switching to a 4-3-3, playing IU on the left of that, and maybe making another change in midfield, taking probably MacArthur out and playing Soloff up front, something like that. And just, you know, Andros back on the right in his natural position, three-man midfield, four-man defence, and just play something a little bit different. Now, again, when you say that after winning a game, it feels a little bit...
I do 100% get your point. But something I think I've said on the Palace fan show before, I think maybe when you were here, DR, is that, to me, looking at the way that Roy sets his side up and the personnel playing in certain positions, it screams to me that there's a number of players, and I look at the people on the bench, is that he doesn't trust those players. So, you know, the likes of Soloff, the likes of Schlupp, Puncheon, it's incredibly unlikely. I think they're going to be starting a game unless he absolutely has to, because I think he doesn't 100% trust them.
Well, one player that did come on pretty early was Jeffrey Schlupp, and he was horrific. Like, it just shows that if you have to rely on Jeffrey Schlupp to change the game, you really haven't got that many players on your bench at quality.
So you'll know Jeffrey Schlupp, right?
I know Jeffrey very well.
So started as a striker.
Yeah, scored a hat-trick on his debut.
Became a left winger and a left back.
Yeah.
And we play him in central midfield.
I did not know this. Central midfield?
Play central midfield for Palace.
Wow.
He plays everywhere. It's like a school kid, you know? Like, no position. Just run around. That's his role.
This is the problem with Roy, right? The squad that
centre midfield?
Yeah, the squad that he's got, he will not play wingers. So Andros is a winger, but plays as either a striker, or if we're playing a 4-4-2 and he's not playing up front, he'll be playing as a wide midfielder tucking in, because that's what we do with our in the 4-4-2. Those wide midfielders aren't wingers, they're wide central midfielders. They're supposed to tuck in and form a very tight four, particularly in defence. They drop right back, so we don't play with wingers. And if you just sort of forget everything you know about football and just look at the squad, even if you think of it like a Football Manager squad, and you look at their positions and you think okay, where's our best player
your best players are wingers,
that's it, winger. And then so Wilfred Zaha winger, Andros Townsend winger, so you're like, well, why not play a system that uses wingers?
And you got Puncheon and Schlupp, who, you know, they are wingers. You know, you could talk about, obviously debate about the quality of them, but it seems like if he's going to play this way, he's limiting himself so much, because he's got players who are specialist. You know, Puncheon and Schlupp are not central players. I mean, honestly and truly, I had no idea that Jeffrey Schlupp being played in central midfield, and that absolutely horrifies me.
Yeah, I think
technically an atrocious footballer, but he's incredibly quick. You know, and when you're that quick, you can play on the wing.
He is quick, but his attitude as well. He just tracking back. He seems a bit lost. It's like he just comes on. Him and Soloff, but they don't. It seems like they don't really have a clue what's going on. They start pointing at players, but not picking them up. And you're like, you just came on. Why are you not running and chasing back? So it's frustrating. And from now on, I honestly will start put Jason Puncheon ahead of Jeffrey Schlupp, because he doesn't offer much, and there's no point bringing him on if he's not going to.
Schlupp last season did pretty well for us. Okay, filling in central midfield, again in the wide left central midfield position. Start of this season, and the reason he lost his place was not just the form and the ability of Max Meyer, it's because tracking back and helping out Patrick Van Aanholt, every time we conceded a goal down that side, you'd basically be able to see just creeping into shot as the ball goes in the net.
Jogging back 10 yards away.
That was a real frustration for him. And his stock has fallen considerably.
Yeah.
And he's clearly a player that Roy trusted. And I think probably more from an organisational point of view than an ability point of view. I think Roy is on record as saying he likes to have players on the pitch who are help basically put his views, his
philosophy.
On the pitch. And I think Schlupp was one of those.
I don't think Roy trusts anyone on his bench, to be fair. After the comment he made against Brighton, saying that if there was anyone that I could bring on to change the game, it just shows that there's no trust there in his bench players, and it's an area that we have to improve on.
I say it's a shame though, because when you signed Schlupp, and obviously just very selfishly as a Leicester fan, you know, he came through as a Premier League winner. You spent a fair amount of cash on him. Yeah. I know he's been there a few years now, but just out of curiosity, have you been disappointed by his progression and improvement as a player? Because you probably had quite high hopes for him, or did you not?
Well, I was a little confused because we signed him and PVA at the same time. And yeah. It was just kind of...
Okay. Similar players.
That's when we had left-back crisis.
Yeah, we did. I think we panicked a little
bit. Papaswari as well then, as
yeah,
well.
He just had that the crash.
Yeah.
So, I think he did a really good job for us initially. And I think now we're sort of seeing some limitations there. And it's... I think... In this sort of modern age, the amount of money you spend on footballers, I think we probably got value out of him for a season and a half. So I don't think it was a bad signing. I just don't think he's going to take us forward.
He's a player that, when you're winning a game, is you bring on for the last 10 to 5 minutes to try and defend. But even that, I said, he seems like I can't really trust him to even do that job because he's not tracking back. So I'm losing trust in him, and I think Roy, after his performance against Leicester, will lose a bit of trust in him as well.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see where Jeffrey Schlupp's next career move is, because obviously he's not going to become a first team player, obviously, on what you guys are saying about him. So yeah, Jeffrey Schlupp could be next stop in the Championship. It's Love Sport Radio, and this is the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey.
Four games without scoring and not against particularly strong sides. They're obviously playing Northern Ireland, who were not great. And I think actually Republic of Ireland's goalkeeper was man of the match in that game. It's no good. I mean, look, I'm a goalkeeper and I like being man of the match, but it never says a lot about the defence playing in front of me.
It never happens either, but...
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey. Join the pack weekdays from 3 p.m. on Love Sport. We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. The cat's out of the bag, and PC's gone mad. Patrick Christie's has been from the streets of Syria to the galleries of the government, and now he's gracing the airwaves, giving meaning to the term face for radio. Patrick Christie's, bringing his unique take on all the latest in sports and current affairs to your lunchtime. PC Gone Mad, weekdays from midday on Love Sport. 5:58 a.m. Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, Crystal Palace Fan Show with Jay Watson till 10 p.m. this evening. But DR and Hambo from the Back of the Nest podcast in the studio with me. But delighted to say that Crystal Palace legend John Solarco is on the phone now. John, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
How are we? Well?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
John, very, well. Very quickly before we go into kind of chatting about the Leicester game and then looking ahead to Man City, there's been a bit of a debate in the studio this evening. I just want to get your take on it. There's a split of just how well Wilfried Zaha has been playing this season. Do you think he's been at his best?
Do you know what? I think Wilfried's just been magnificent. He's obviously targeted. I think everyone's fully aware of what he's capable of and how important he is to the Palace side. And they obviously make provisions for that, and they do target him and they'll double up on him. And they know that, you know, if they do nullify Wilfried, then they nullify a massive part of Palace's armoury. So, in the context, he's got to learn, he's got to grow. And, you know, I know he does... it's very easy to get petulant and angry and say about he's been targeted and fouled. But he's got to let the other guys do that. He's got to let the manager do it, let Roy Hodgson do it, let Ray Lewington do it, let Milivojevic do it, and MacArthur. They've got to protect him, and it's a massive fillip for him that they do target him. So I think he will grow and he will get better, and I think perhaps coming out of it and watching games will help him.
Do you think three goals though and assists, which DR pointed out as his stats this year, do you think that's a good enough return though for someone who's valued how highly as he is?
I think what we've got now is that just the expectation level. You're probably right. I think looking at the cold stats, I think what we wanted of Wilfried, I try to work with him on that, and what you try and tell him is that it's end product. You've got to get your crosses in, you've got to get your shots in, you've got to get your assists, and you've got to get your goals. You know, Wilfried, with his ability, and a little bit of the freedom he is allowed. He probably should be getting, you know, we're hoping he can get sort of 12, 15 goals, which will catapult him into a real top level. I mean, you're talking, that's Eden Hazard level, you know, Mora, you know, the Felipe Andersons, you look at the other teams that are playing, you know, for a wide play, if you can get, you know, 12, 14, 15 goals, that is exceptional. But, you know, if you got 10, 12 out of Wilfred and then another sort of 15 assists, then that would be incredible.
You've picked my side of the debate there, John, so well done. You were correct.
Good start.
just on a general theme, a lot of the Palace fans have been questioning Roy Hodgson of late. Ourselves included, funnily enough. Yeah, I think, so to give it the context it probably needs, I think what's frustrated a lot of people is the rigidity of the fact that he plays the same system every week and fits the players into it rather than perhaps playing a system that would better suit his squad. So what's your view on Roy's current performance? Obviously brilliant last season, but this season people seem disappointed.
Well, do you know what? I think, you know, Roy came in, I mean, obviously the horrendous start that we had, and then, you know, sort of stayed up. And coming into this season, there was a lot of it. Again, it's that word expectation. And, you know, you do want to see good football. And I know that, you know, Palace are one of those sides. And they're 6 to 8, possibly 10 sides that, honestly, I heard Klopp talking about this 42 points. And, you know, first and foremost, you want to stay in the league. So you want to be hard to beat, you know. And especially with the problems we've had with Benteke, you know, Soloff's not quite finding his feet, AU's not finding his feet. So goals aren't that easy to find and come by. And I think with Roy, he's first and foremost starting position. And that's what he's got to do. He's got to go back to basics and say, look, let's be hard to beat. Let's keep the score tight. Let's keep the game.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And let's try and nick it off a set piece, off a free kick, off a piece of magic from Wilf or Andros Townsend or Milivojevic, as he did against Leicester. You know, that's where, you know, unfortunately, that's where Roy's living. And that's where he's got to be. He's pragmatic. He's been sensible. And it is frustrating for the fans because the fans want to see more open, expansive football. You know, they want to see more attacking and boxing teams in. But, you know, in this league, it's so tough. It's so tough, and every game's tough, and that's why it's the best league in the world. And really, I would say, you know, Roy's doing a fantastic job. Yeah, if he can get that little bit more of a more, you know, entertaining form of a game, then it would be great. But I think just, you know, pinch ourselves and be thankful that, you know, we're doing so well and that we are competing and staying in the Premier League.
Oh, sure. What about use of squad, though? Obviously, Roy is a manager of a certain vintage, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the modern game with the 25-man squad, I think he's quite quick to use, you know, the same players every week. And we've been talking about whether that shows a lack of trust in the 25 as a whole. But by not using them, you know, and these players not having the sort of competitive minutes in the Premier League, is there a danger that they won't ever be able to make a difference off the bench or if they're brought in to start just because they've not been used properly?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I'm just sitting here waiting for the Arsenal-Tottenham game to come on. And, you know, when you talk about the cup competitions, that's when you want to give players game time. And, you know, you talk about, oh, do you know what, it's an important game, you should want to win competitions. But where are they going to get game time? And you do need to give them game time. And you watch them day in, day out in training, and that's where you build your trust, and that's where you build your confidence in players. And that's, you know, as a player, and it's so important that, you know, either when you're a substitute or you're in a squad, you've got to always have a great attitude, be positive, enthusiastic, and be ready to come on. And when you go and knock on that manager's door and you say, I want to play, you know, you've got to back that up with a passion, enthusiasm and a display. So, but he has got to give those players game time, because, you know, Martin Kelly's like a phenomenon. He trains, and, you know, when he comes in, you'd think he had never been out and he hadn't played, and because he's got such a fantastic attitude. Joel Ward, your MacArthur's, you know, there's so many players, Scotty Dan, they've got wonderful attitudes, but it's very easy to sulk. You know, I'm looking at Ozil and I'm looking at some of the other problems that players have at Man United. You know, they don't seem to have it. You know, Klopp and Guardiola do an incredible job keeping a squad happy. But, as you're saying, you know, it is about giving them time, and they've got to deliver. Otherwise, you lose faith in them and you don't really trust them. So it's a tough one.
On that, is if he does have this lack of faith or this lack of trust in the squad, come January, not an awful lot of money to spend by all accounts at Palace, particularly wage-wise. So
Again,
yeah. Weird, isn't it? Keeps happening.
Again? Where's all the money gone?
not entirely sure. But so, you know, what do Palace do there? What do they prioritise? The temptation is just to say striker every time, isn't it? But with Wickham potentially coming back, and Benteke looking like he's back from injury very shortly, are they going to get anything better for the money available?
Do you know what? It's amazing. I mean, we desperately need a striker. I mean, Benteke's been incredibly disappointing for probably for a number of reasons. I think physically he's got issues. I don't think he can do what his body won't let him do, what his mind wants to do. I know what we know the quality he's got. He's a phenomenal player. You know, we swapped him for Bolasie, 28 million, and expect him to take us to another level. We let Glenn Murray go, the Fraser Campbells, the Dwight Gales, you know, the Patrick Bamfords that you thought weren't quite good enough. The player, I think, is a hell of a player. It's Connor Wickham. Physicality. He's got everything. And if he can stay fit and keep himself right, he would be the answer. But the other answer is, obviously, Steve Parish and Brighty and Boogie, you know, have got to get their heads together and scout, because they are out there. And, if you can freshen up with a decent striker, need a bit of pace so he can stretch the game. You know, again, someone who attacked the ball, get Wilfred and Andros, you know, creating chances for him, just relieving pressure and being able to keep possession. But, you know, it's massively important, and I think that's the lifeblood really for a club like Palace, is to be able to bring in one or two every time. That's why you use that January window to freshen up with two or three. You look, Gita came in and he's come in, he's done brilliantly, and you've got to have players that have a desire and want to kick on, and you want to buy players. Like, you know, Bob Wayne at West Ham, you know, he's sort of 6-7 million. He's the kind of player you want to go and pick up, like a Lukman or a, you know, Andre Gray. They're out there. You go and buy him for 5-6 million, you turn him into a 20-30 million pound player. You sell him 2-3 years later after great service, and you make a profit on him. That is where we need to live.
Yeah, no, so, it'd definitely be interesting to see what the guys do in January. John, just very quickly, Man City up next for Palace. Do you give them much hope going into that one? Or if so, how do you think they go about trying to get a result?
Do you know what? It's one of those games where it's almost like a free hit. You know, Man City are the best team, arguably, in Europe, let alone in the Premier League. And they've got great players everywhere. You know, De Bruyne's back. You know, Sané, you know. They're all playing fantastic well. Aguero's back. So, you know, you've got to set up your team. You've got to set hard to beat, but you've got to be confident and be able to keep possession. I think with their high press, I don't think you want to mess around at the back. Just get rid of it. Get up there. You know, make it bitty. Make it scrappy. Get in their faces and hopefully nick something. And hopefully, you know, sort of, you know, the players like Wilfred and Andros can produce and try and get results. It would be phenomenal. Get another point on the road, but that's why the Leicester result was great and so important, because against those Man City's, Liverpool's, you know, maybe your Spurs, Arsenal's, that top four, Chelsea, you know, whatever you get out there is a bonus. So I don't really hold that much hope, but, you know, if they can possibly be fantastic.
Absolutely. John, really appreciate your time this evening. That was John Slarko, Crystal Palace legend. His views there on the squad and looking ahead to Man City doesn't give us much hope.
No, well, why would you?
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's fair enough, isn't it? I wouldn't give much teams any hope against them at the moment. Yeah.
I think why I looked at our results against them of late and over the last few years, it's just been increasing, the gap. I think if you look in sequence, I think it's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 5-1.
But don't be concerned, Hambo, because that's happening to every single one of us in the Premier League. It's Love Sport Radio, and this is the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
Come for the sport, stay for the chat. Love Sport Radio.
Have you been injured in a road traffic accident, an accident at work, or an accident anywhere? It's your right to claim. You could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Harris Fowler are specialist personal injury solicitors with a 96.9% success rate, offering no win, no fee. Call 0800 213 214 to find out if you have a claim. 0800 213 214. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitors. Win rate based on cases issued and finished between the 1st of January and the 31st of December 2017.
1.7 seconds. It's over in a flash. This is the average view time of a video ad on a mobile device. Money worth spent, don't you think? Mark Pritchard, Chief Brand Officer of Procter & Gamble, the world's biggest advertiser, has said that digital ads are annoying people with too much frequency. So, digital media, stick your algorithms up your... Anyway, radio is different. The average listener tunes in for over 21 hours every week. Your potential customers are listening right now. Grow your business with Love Sport Radio.
Could you offer an abandoned or unwanted dog a loving home? If you can, All Dogs Matter would love to hear from you. Every year, All Dogs Matter rescue and rehome around 400 dogs across London and the home counties. But without people like you, this simply wouldn't be possible. Through no fault of their own, these dogs urgently need new loving homes. All Dogs Matter are counting on you to give one of our dogs a second chance in life. Visit alldogsmatter.co.uk.
Do you wear glasses? Think you're paying too much for your glasses?
Yeah!
Want to try them out before you buy? Then go direct to Glasses Direct and get two pairs of new glasses with lenses from just £19. And with our free home trial, you can test drive them on friends and family before you buy. It's that easy. So, for your new glasses, you should go direct to glassesdirect.co.uk. New customers only, delivery £3.95. Conditions and exclusions apply. See website for details.
Taking antibiotics when you don't need them puts you and your family at risk of a longer and more severe illness. Always take your doctor's advice. Search NHS antibiotics.
This is Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, Crystal Palace Fan Show. Hambo and DR from back of the nest in the studio in the Carabao Cup. The two games this evening have kicked off. Arsenal Spurs and Chelsea Bournemouth, both goalless at the moment. Just a quick one. Christmas shopping. Are we all done?
Yeah.
You done?
First time ever in my life at 38 years old. I have completed my Christmas shopping before it was even December.
Wow. And is this because you've had a couple of real close calls and you thought, I'm not going through that anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I used to enjoy it. I used to enjoy leaving it till Christmas Eve because I thought it was funny. However, things have just got to that point where it's busier. I've got less energy than I used to have.
Yeah.
And the idea, I mean, even driving around now, even trying to go into any town centre right now, it's just full of those people. I hate people. Like,
I don't believe that for a second.
honestly, he does. Right, he hates everyone. But
I thought it was just you, DR. Have you done your Christmas shopping?
No, I don't celebrate Christmas.
Oh, here he goes.
Yeah.
He'll accept gifts.
Like, but too old school.
Christmas is old school.
But I know. Producer Paddy hasn't even started. So.
No, I've done half, and I've now realised. Honestly and truly, I've only realised the date today, so it's now at the point where I can't really do kind of my standard delivery, anything on... I mean, I'm now running the risk that the presents aren't going to be here in time. So I'm actually going to have to go to a shop and do my Christmas shopping.
That's horrendous.
Which I didn't want to do.
What about Christmas decorations?
My flat is... There is none.
It seems like every year it goes back a week. Like, this year I saw it in October, I think. End of October. I saw Christmas. I was like...
Wherever that was, you should have set it on fire immediately.
Yeah,
that,
but I'm not surprised anymore. It keeps going back. I don't know when is the right time to start it. Like, when is the right time
personally,
to start your
personally,
Christmas decorations?
It's more about wrong start. Wrong yeah. time to start.
Personally, I think Christmas decorations should go up on Christmas Eve and come down on Boxing Day, but...
yeah, my neighbour keeps up for the, like, the remainder of the year. Like, I don't know, like, extended period
he's,
of Christmas.
He's probably trying to make a point to you.
Yeah, actually, we don't get along, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I had noticed. So, not Christmas shopping, but some January shopping.
Yeah.
How seamless, wasn't it? Oh. What are you hoping Palace to do?
You've earned your money with that.
Thank
I mean,
you.
That is that
yeah,
is
that's
impressive.
Brilliant.
I mean, I've just taken a bow for anyone listening. I didn't even mean it. It just happens. Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a really important time. I think John was saying it, and he was absolutely right. I mean... We are only going to get that the couple of faces in that he's talking about, and we might have to move a couple out first. And I know I'm sure we'll get to it after the break where DR's got some specific rumours. He's been delving around the internet and spreading like yeah. lies like wildfire.
Lies? I'm not spreading lies. These are not my rumours. This is stuff that I've heard from the people that's tweeting it
what's
out.
What's your source, like, mate?
It's not my source. It's the people they're tweeting it out.
Got
it's not me.
He's got multiple Twitter accounts. He pretends to be a Turkish journalist.
Yeah, that has 200k followers.
ITK, are you one of them?
No. there's a Turkish journalist who has 200k followers, and he basically said that Palace have offered Benteke to Beşiktaş on loan. So that's it. I didn't say that. He said that.
Look, Diaz Menekli, it's not his news. Are you guys aware of the Twitter account Indie Callier?
Yes.
So he's got about, I mean, 500,000 probably Twitter accounts. He's huge. Did you know he works
in KFC
and Leicester?
Because every time you look at the comments, there's always people like...
Yeah, it's a true story. I can't remember exactly how he was found out, but it's true. Well, I mean, whether he works there now or not, but he certainly did at the time. He's not a respected... you know, in the know journalist agent with all these contacts. But he makes an absolute fortune from his Twitter account.
He's not bad, though.
Well,
is that time?
If you spend enough time on Twitter and you follow the right people, then if you sling enough mud at the wall, you know, some will stick. And you only have to get, what, 8 out of 10 right, and bearing in mind that that information isn't his, for people then to start believing you have genuine sources.
Well, it's a good opportunity for me then.
If you're serious about not having a real job and just being on the internet and being on Twitter, you can make money out of making up fake
football
rumours.
The funny thing is, you know, actual journalists with actual sources get probably 1 in 10 stories right.
Absolutely.
And that's because of how regularly deals break down and how they're all structured. So, you know, most offers and deals don't even get as far as the club ever accepted them.
No.
There's contracts drawn up, things put in place for a series of options over the transfer window. So every club will have a load of stuff lined up.
Yeah.
The agents will go mad drumming up interest. All of these are genuine stories from a genuine source, but they may never progress to anything. And it's so easy, just like you say. You get 2 or 3 of those correct, and that's it. Yeah.
But that's the thing that you talk about, like journalists, they'll tweet their stories and sources, and people will say rubbish. Well, actually, it probably wasn't. It just didn't happen, as Hambo says. But ironically, your best source of transfer news is someone like Indy Callier, because he's spending the time sourcing all of the transfer rumours, and obviously he knows the best people to follow in terms of getting the most reliable stuff. So you only have to do is follow that one person, and whilst it's not actually his news, he is actually sourcing real news from someone.
Yeah, but with the Benteke one, this guy has 200k followers on Twitter. Yeah, that's a huge amount. And also, he's the head of
it sounds feasible to me.
Yeah, and he's the head of sports in one of Turkey's biggest sports channels, so he's a massive guy. So surely he should
a massive guy.
Yeah, he's a massive. Like,
do you not believe this is a feasible rumor?
And he always go to Beşiktaş games.
I think it's a feasible rumor.
Yeah,
in the sense that I believe it came from Benteke's agent.
Okay,
but whether it's got any truth, as in anything was actually offered, or we've actually just, I have no doubt that we wouldn't be too averse to losing Benteke's wages, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm not doubting that, but I think you're right to give it the correct context. I mean, 1 year, a while back, I got, I think, 600 extra followers in a day because I happened to have been told by someone that Ian Holloway was about to be the manager. And I just thought, I very rarely do it when I get told anything.
Yeah.
But I just chucked it up on Twitter and said, Holloway next manager, 100%. I got so much 100%. Abuse. I got so much abuse, and it wasn't 100% at the time, but I said it was, and I got so much abuse, but I got it right.
So, yeah, then, that's what you need to do. You know, just need to add 100% and just be so sure on your rumour that nobody can deny.
Yeah, I guess you could do that, but after the break, we'll talk about in depth why I do think it's a possibility of Benteke.
Do we have to?
Yes, I'm afraid we do. Guys, are you
paying, other rumours as well.
Are you paying way too much for your energy bills and insurance? Because you could be saving hundreds of pounds by shopping around. Find out just how much you could save by going to aspokesmansaid.com. Search for the cheapest deals on your energy bills and the best value for your home, car and travel insurance. Don't take our word for it. There's hundreds of Spokesman Said customers who've already saved big. Brian from Derbyshire saved £400 on his energy bills. Kurt from Surrey saved over £300 on his home insurance, and Tony from Northampton saved a massive £2,800. Don't pay the price for not shopping around. Visit aspokesmansaid.com and you can be saving money on your bills in time for Christmas.
With aspokesmansaid.com, fighting for you, saving you money.
This is Love Sport.
When looking for the best possible deal for his car insurance, Jim went on aspokesmansaid.com and saved hundreds.
I'm Jim. I'm a radio presenter based in Glasgow. I couldn't believe how expensive the car insurance for our Citroën C4 Picasso was going to be from my existing insurer. I went on a spokesman said and saved an incredible £600. Just amazing. Signing up to a spokesman said, best thing I could have done.
Find quotes from over 100 leading insurance providers at aspokesmansaid.com. Getting real people, real savings. Compare, switch and save with aspokesmansaid.com.
The Lord's Taverners, the official charity partner of Love Sport Radio.
My name's Sam Alderson and I suffer from Tarsen syndrome. When I become wheelchair bound, I thought I wouldn't be able to play sport anymore. The Lord's Taverners introduced me to disability cricket and it has allowed me to experience all the excitement and happiness that sport can give you.
The Lord's Taverners, the leading disability youth cricket charity in the UK. If you're a road cycling enthusiast, carinsuranceforcyclists.com rewards you when you get behind the wheel of your car. Your on-road cycling experience has made you more alert and road aware than the average car driver, and that deserves special attention. Let carinsuranceforcyclists.com source you the best car insurance deal, because good on two wheels means better on four. To find out how much you could save, call 0800 819 9319 and mention Love Sport Radio, or visit carinsuranceforcyclists.com.
Divorce law proceedings can be frustrating and even seem unfair, especially if you command a high income or you own a business or if you're a man. Men with assets and children depend on their divorce lawyers. It's important to hire a lawyer that has the right skills. Cordell and Cordell works to help men protect their financial assets and the future role they play in their children's lives. Call 0330 6060 161 or visit cordellcordell.co.uk. A partner men can count on.
Welcome back, Love Sport Radio. In the next half hour before Hambo and DR leave us, we're going to be doing some, not any more Leicester talk, but we are going to do some transfer rumours. January is fast approaching. DR's got the lowdown and the exclusive content on what is happening with Christian Benteke, so stay tuned for that. We will, of course, also preview your next Premier League game, which is Manchester City. So please stay with us. The guys with you till 8:30. It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show. But up next here on Love Sport, this is your news.
On 558 AM, online, on your smart speaker, and on digital radio. This is Love Sport News.
From the Sky News Centre at 8, lip reading experts are disputing claims by Jeremy Corbyn, who's denied calling Theresa May a stupid woman in the Commons. The Labour leader suggested he used the term people, but experts say his mouth movements didn't match that word at all. The Tories' deputy chair, James Cleverly, also says he doesn't buy it.
If you were just to say, look, it was the heat of the moment, we all get a bit heated in Prime Minister's questions, I have done in the past. The best thing to do in situations like that is just to say, look, I said it, I apologise, and then we could move on. But I think him digging his heels in like this, if anything, is making it a lot worse.
Police have described the behaviour of a woman jailed for exploiting the Grenfell Tower, Manchester Arena and London Bridge tragedies as deplorable. 44-year-old Roxana Ashraf from Edinburgh has been sentenced to 3 years after making dozens of false insurance claims. Theresa May says she still wants to bring annual net migration down to the tens of thousands. The Prime Minister has been commenting on the government's post-Brexit immigration plans. She says the new system will allow low-skilled workers from specified countries to come to the UK for up to a year.
We're going to bring an end to free movement. We will do that in a way that enables us to reduce net migration, but enables us to ensure that the brightest and best can be attracted to the United Kingdom. It will be skills-based. So in the future, coming here to work will be based on your contribution, not on the country you come from.
The US is withdrawing all 2,000 of its troops from Syria. Donald Trump has declared victory in the mission to defeat Islamic State. Uber's going to challenge a legal ruling which has potential implications for the so-called gig economy. The Court of Appeal backed the rights of the company's drivers to receive the minimum wage and paid holidays. Sport, tonight's League Cup quarterfinals are underway. Arsenal are facing Tottenham, while Chelsea are taking on Bournemouth. In the Scottish Premiership, Rangers know a win against Hibernian will keep them at the top of the table. Celtic can overtake them by beating Motherwell. That's the latest. I'm Annie Green.
Known originally as the Glaziers, this club are far from fragile. They've been building their nest in Selhurst Park. And the Eagles are ready to swoop in and bring out the claws this season. It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport.
Oh yeah, you've had 5 minutes, mate, and decided to cough then.
Unbelievable.
I got tricked. I thought the mic was going to go live after like 2 seconds.
Come on, mate. Yeah. Come on. We will request some Christmas tunes before the end of the show this evening. Favorite Christmas song? Dio, are you going to say you don't like Christmas songs?
No,
either?
No. I do.
Which one? Which one's old school?
The Mariah Carey. Oh, I want for Christmas.
I did not expect you to say that.
No, there's other songs as well. Look, let me just quickly look for them.
No, it's too late now, mate. That's your answer. No, you've got to stick with that. Take your first answer. Hambo, what's your favourite?
Obviously, it's Fairy Tale in New York, but that's just genius. But whatever the Dashing Through the Snow one is, our producer Mikey loves that, so he'd love to hear that.
Well, we'll try and get that sorted, Producer Paddy.
He changes the lyrics every year to involve my mum, but...
Oh! other than that. We will not be playing out that version evening. Have you decided you'd like a different one instead?
Yeah, there's Last Christmas as well.
I know Christmas. I know I've heard of Last Christmas.
Yeah. Last Christmas.
Thank you. Have you heard of that one, Hammer?
Oh, he once asked me if I'd heard of the NHS.
There's a Fairy Tale of New York. There's a couple of good tunes. I'm looking forward
to. Are you telling me what the Christmas names of Christmas songs are, the ones you like?
The ones that I like.
Okay.
Yeah. I just realised I said Fairy Tale in New York. Of New York.
I said of New York, didn't I?
No, Hamburg. I'm so ashamed of myself.
So we're not judging you. You're all right.
Don't talk to me about my music when you don't even know yours.
There was a chance for Spurs. Still 0-0 in both games. Spurs, Arsenal and Chelsea, Bournemouth. Let's finish off some transfer rumours. Also, we'll get your forward reviews as well from that Leicester game. So, other than Benteke, we've decided that there is a chance, there may be potential interest in Benteke, but whether it's 100%, we can't be 100% sure. Where else are we at? Because is it really a matter of moving people out before you could actually really do any proper business?
I think so. I think the issue we've got is the wages. So I've got the 9th highest wage bill in the Premier League.
I know. I was saying last time I was doing this show, I'd read that day and I couldn't believe it, if I'm completely honest. Yeah. I look at your squad and obviously it's not rubbish. I'm not suggesting it's one of the worst in the league, but I don't think it's anywhere near the 9th best squad in the Premier League.
No, well, when you're
wasting money somewhere.
Well, when you take the decision to do what we've done, which is rather than buy, you know, players at a reasonable wage, reasonable value that are...
Heung-min Son, sorry, in the North London derby. We kind of miss it. 20 minutes gone, but Son has just scored for them. So, Spurs leading.
DR tapped me and celebrated there, just so, because everyone knows that DR is a secret Spurs fan.
Are you a closet Spurs fan?
Did I celebrate? Look, you were right there. You didn't see me. Exactly.
I mean, I didn't, but I was listening to Hambo. I was very engaged in what he was saying. Are you lying? Did he not really celebrate?
No, he genuinely did, but he's now claiming he didn't because, well, anyway, let's not get into it.
Yeah, okay. So you're talking about the squad of course. The money that's being spent on it.
We've done what you'd call marquee signings. So we've bought Benteke, 120 grand a week, 28 million quid or whatever it is. Sacco, similar.
Yeah.
Obviously, Max Meyer this time is.
Yeah, he's so Sacco, Meyer, and Benteke, they're three big wages.
Wilfred Zaha is obviously now near the top. Mm. And a couple of Max Meyer, obviously, free transfer, big wages. And we've rewarded players as well, so Townsend will be up there, understandably. Luka Milivojevic will be up there.
About 60,000 a week
is
or
it really? Yeah. I know in this day and age there are a lot of Premier League players earning frankly more than they should have and probably had maybe half a season, one season, then got a big wage. And you know, and I'll throw Jeffrey Schlupp into there. I bet you he's on 50k plus, and this is a player who can't get in your starting 11. And you know, you don't mind if it's a Maya, you know, a Sacco, a players who are playing week in, week out, because they're clearly contributing. Whether people think they're worth it or not is a different matter, but they're contributing. You know, how painful is it? Because you're talking about having to move players out. You're not going to move out Sacco. You're not going to move out Maya. You're not going to move out Zaha. Well, the players you need to move out are the ones that you probably can't move out because of the wage they're on.
But I think we have to move out one of Sacco, all the big names that you mentioned that earn a lot. I think it's going to have to come to that, because if you want to improve the squad, you have to get rid of one of them and get decent squad players, because right now we're earning, as you said, 9th most, so we spend the 9th most in the Premier League in terms of wages. So in my opinion, that's why the Benteke rumour, that's why I think it's genuine, because if Roy doesn't prefer Benteke, you can loan out Benteke and you can bring you know, using his wages, you can bring in someone else for
a couple of players.
You can bring someone else till the end of the season. That's why I think it makes sense if Benteke does get loaned out. But
Jermaine Defoe is a name that I've seen linked on loan with Benteke perhaps moving out on loan. Is that something you'd go for?
I say,
do you think there's any legs in that?
I say it every time we're linked to Jermaine Defoe. It's 18 months too late.
Right. So we're about 48 months too late.
I said it when he came back from Toronto, so it shows you how much I know. He scored, I think, 3 goals in a year. But two of them were against us.
I think he scored 4, 2 against him. It's a similar situation to Benteke, though. Benteke hasn't scored a goal this season. Well, I know he's been out with injuries, but last season he only scored 3 goals. So it depends. If Roy prefers to have Jermaine Defoe rather than Benteke, as Benteke hasn't worked out, then it's a risk that I could see us taking. As keeping Benteke there and playing as you are, not changing about, you may not get as much as goals from him. But I understand that Benteke offers lots in other ways other than goals, but I guess we have to look for goal scorers and Jermaine Defoe is an option. But I don't know, I wouldn't really want Jermaine Defoe, but that's what I think.
Look, one other thing I'll mention, obviously, you know, we're talking about Benteke going out to save wages. I think over the summer we looked at both him and Sacco, and Sacco has gone on record saying that he could have left in the summer as well. And I think we did look to see if it was going to be worth selling or loaning one of those to free up space to allow us to build a squad. Because, you know, like you say, you can get 2 good players with that wage if you're lucky.
If you spend it well.
And that's the big
hard,
isn't it?
Yeah. It is hard. It's becoming hard in the Premier League, though, because people know of the money that exists. Everyone wants 50k these days.
Yeah. I mean, and loans don't help you that much. If you look at what we were asked for. So we paid a lot for Loftus-Cheek last year, and I think we were quoted £15 million for a season loan.
Wow.
That's, you know.
To have him for a season, to not even be your player.
And still pay
and
his
then
wages
for all of his wages as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you add the wages into that, you're probably talking about a £20 million outlay for a player for a season.
Mm.
And then he's someone else's player that you've developed. So it's bizarre what's going
there's
on.
There's another player that's Solanke from Liverpool.
Yeah.
We've been linked with a loan move for him. So there are some strikers out there, but I think strikers are the hardest position to get, as you just
and
expect
the most expensive.
Most expensive, as you expect goals from them. But even if Jermaine Defoe or Solanke joins, what's the odds of them being injured because they're joining Palace?
What I would say about Solanke is that on one of our websites, CPFC BBS, it's called, cpfc.org, there's a multi-page thread saying about why it'd be a terrible idea and how rubbish he is. And they did that with Danny Ings.
Yeah.
And now they're all saying, oh, I always said we should sign Ings. Mm. So I guarantee you we should sign Solanke because they say we shouldn't.
But we can't really complain
about... I love
about,
that.
We can't really complain about who's bad, who's good when you're looking at our strikers and none of them can score goals. And Roy doesn't trust him. So it doesn't really matter who we really bring in.
No,
Solanke's got potential and he's proven himself before.
Scored against us in pre-season as well.
There we are. If any other reason other than that he scored against you. Guys, let's get some four-word reviews, please, from the Leicester win.
Who's going to lead?
Well, it looks like Hambo is taking responsibility.
Yeah, I'm too ill to do four-word reviews.
I mean, it's the first time you've mentioned that.
You could hear it in my voice.
I've got a toothache.
Okay, let's rattle through these guys.
So, from Patrick, that's Patrick O'Connor from the US of A. Wilf Hoodoo is over. Mark Ross has gone with Kelly Lands Eagles deliver. Kelly Lands Eagles. I have to think about that one, Mark. Elliot, the Wakefield Viking. I know him well. He lives in Leeds, poor man.
Boo.
This is a weird joke for me. It says Thielen, Diggs, Hill, Smith, Schuster. I think that's a reference to some American sport. I'm going to ignore that one. Peter Ramage, former Palace defender, currently assistant coach at Phoenix Rising.
Was he really? I knew he was in America.
He just says Rambo loves clean sheets.
Like that.
And that is, I think, the third time he's tweeted that to us. It shows you how few tweets, clean sheets we've had this season. Nick Sadler, Kelly is a hero. Hopefully a reference to the film Kelly's Heroes, my favourite film.
And a couple more.
Bex, IU, never, ever again. And Rob Cranfield has gone with one without Wilf. Woohoo!
What a way to end that. What a way. After the break, we're going to turn our attentions to the Man City game. Ray from Man City TV will be joining us on the phone. This is Love Sport and the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
Love Sport. Love Sport.
I work for a spokesman said.com. We can help you save money on your home insurance. All you need to do is visit a spokesman said.com and find out if we can find you a better deal.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey.
One of them is Keith Curl from Wimbledon.
How much?
£2.5 million.
Hold on a minute. King Cludsey was four.
I'll have to check for you, Aaron. It has happened before.
I'll just come back in and cause a whole load of controversy.
No, we'll accuracy. Completely right.
No, you don't even know that he's right. It's my word against his.
We're just checking. Along and me and don't get old Gordon Taylor on us just because he wanted an inquiry. It just shows how people become bullies, don't they? He's only been here 2 minutes. Imagine he was here for 37 years.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey. Join the pack weekdays from 3 p.m. on Love Sport. 558 a.m. Love Sport.
Welcome back, Love Sport Radio, Crystal Palace fan show, Hambo and DR from back of the nest. So Man City up next for you guys, but you can't wait for that one. Should we leave it there?
that noise.
It's just the one game that I never look forward to. Like any other top six club, fine, but Man City, especially away from home, it's always like a nightmare.
I will say one thing, when we held City to a 0-0 last time out.
Mm. At home, though?
At home. It was one of the more entertaining 0-0s that I've seen, because it was one we could really get to appreciate the tactics that we went with. And I really enjoyed how City worked to break things down. But I mean, we surprised them by actually playing Jairo Riedewald, which scared the hell out of people, I think, because I'd forgotten he existed at the time. I think City struggled to cope, so I don't know if we're ever going to be able to do that at their place. No one else seems to be able to. But hopefully we'll give it a good go.
Yeah, well, we'll see where we do. Just hold on one second. We got Ray from Man City TV on the phone now. Ray, good evening.
Hi, Jake. How you doing?
We're very well. I mean, the chaps in the studio here, DR and Hambo, I mean, understandably a little bit, you know, not to say sceptical, but you know, they're going into this game with little hope. Is that something you're getting used to now as a Manchester City fan?
Quite honestly, yes. more teams, especially in the bottom half of the table. Let's be quite honest. Let's keep it real. They come in there to try and avoid taking a beating, and they're pretty much defending. I think Huddersfield got a paced in. Fulham came not looking to concede too many. I think Burnley got battered as well. Southampton. They've all come with this, let's be honest, negative attitude. We're going to defend. We're going to look to nick something on the break or from a set piece, a free kick or something. We'll waste as much time as possible. And that, it just doesn't work. We've generally broken teams down early on, and their game plan's out the window, and they just can't recover from it. So they end up getting, as I said, some of them get an absolute pasting. I'm not saying the same is going to happen to Palace on Saturday, but I wouldn't be surprised.
You sound like a man who's bored of winning, though, Ray, right?
Yeah.
See,
oh, I'm not.
I look at that sometimes, okay, though, and the juggernaut of Man City when you win 2-0, particularly home games. I'll be honest, I look in the stands and they don't seem that surprised or bothered by it. It honestly looks like it is becoming too easy.
You'll get a few fans who are getting used to it, and you want it, let's be honest, you want a game of football. You want a game of football. That's what you're there to see.
Yeah.
You generally get the excitement in football, and you get the fans really up for it when it's a tight game, and you know both teams have got a decent chance to win. You get your blood going there, and it keeps you going through the game. When you're winning, usually quite comfortably. Yeah, I wouldn't say you get bored. I think you can relax a bit and you can appreciate more the great football that we're playing. You're not as tense, you're not as nervous. You know, you've not got that squeaky bum time and all that stuff. You can just watch and appreciate the football. And I think that's where a lot of fans are right now. I think in other games, in times gone by, when we have been winning, it's always been, you know, tight until the last, you know, two or three seasons now, and you do worry as the games are going through, and that keeps you excited. You know, you cannot just go back to when that Aguero goal. I mean, that kept you excited all the way, you know, right to the end, and that's how actually you want to win. But don't get me wrong, you know, we beat teams 4 or 5-0. I'll say that all day long.
So how do you think Palace go about getting a result then to actually come and attack you?
Yeah. If you look at what teams have done, look at what's happened to us in the Champions League. Hoffenheim twice, they came to have a go at us, and at their place they had a go at us. They scored that early goal, and then it's a matter of they could have actually scored more, or you know, and hang on. Lyon, they didn't respect us. They came with a proper game plan. They came to Manchester and they beat us, and they were good for that win. Over at their place, same thing. They were very good. They didn't respect us again. It seems come and give us too much respect. They basically lost before they've even crossed the white line.
Yeah,
you've got to give it a go. You can't just say we're going to accept a defeat. Like some teams, as I said, some teams have come and said, look, we'll take a 1-0 like Chelsea did last year. We'll come and take a 1-0 or a 2-0. If you're at the bottom end of the table, that might make a difference come the end of the season against the teams you lost 6-0 at City. But you've got to give it a go. And you can't just isolate your striker. I think that's what I struggle with, teams that are coming to defend. They have a guy up there on his own, and the rest of the team are just so far away. So when the ball does go up to him, he might have two or three defenders around him. It's very hard for him to make it stick. And then there's no one to lay it off to because the rest of the team are so far behind. That gives City the chance and the opportunity for the rest of the place to flood back and win the ball back and start that relentless attack again. So teams have got to try as best they can to disrupt the better players, but they've got to make sure they have more than one guy stood up on his own up front to receive the ball.
Sure. I think, Ray, if you've seen us play this season, you know if we come and attack you, you're certainly being for a treat with missed chances. you know, that's been a feature of our play all season. But I know DR was desperate to speak there, but if you're now looking blankly at me like you're not. So I do have a quick...
I was going to sing
the words to that Mariah Carey song.
Stay tuned, it's coming.
No, I was going to say, just look at the City side, what's your main weakness, I'll say, if you have any? You've only lost one game this season, and that was against Chelsea. What is your weakness? You look at your bench can probably start for Palace, all them players there. What's your main weakness?
The weakness, it's once again, you've got to have a go at City. You can't, I think if you play someone like Chelsea, the idea these days is to sit on Jorginho and that really disrupts Chelsea. You can't do that with City. I think that's the beauty of it. If you try and sit on KDB, well, if we have a full team, I mean, David Silva won't be playing, but we've got David Silva. You can't sit on both of them because we've got Sane and Sterling out wide. So we've got too much of an attacking threat to man-mark players out of the game. I think it's basically you're going to have to work really, really, really hard. Like Leicester did in the cup yesterday, second half, you could see them scurrying, pressing, working really hard. And if you're going to press, you have to press as a team. Teams have tried to press us when we're passing it around at the back with the keeper, but they only send maybe three players up there, three or four. And it's not a comprehensive press because it's always a space, it's always a gap. And you see City, if you watch any of their training videos or that the club puts out, and that's what they seem to spend a lot of time doing, these one-touch, quick-fire passes around the players. So if you're going to press as a team, press with, as I said, consistency. Don't leave gaps. Don't send just three guys up to press because that's a waste of time and you'll easily be bypassed. I mean, Edison's so good on the ball that if you're not pressing properly, or even if you do put five men on a press, he can bypass everybody and hit the ball arrow straight 70 yards. So, you know, it's very, very difficult. But I think what teams, the basic minimum they've got to do is work really, really hard.
Is there any players do you think that Palace should actually target this game? Any players that, you know, there's Fernandinho, he's a good player. Silva, there's very good players. But what's your main...
Fullbacks. Fullbacks. If Zinchenko's playing, if you watch him, he's not a left-back. He's an attacking midfielder who's playing left-back because Mendy's injured. Or if you play Delph there, Zinchenko, there's always a ball over his head. So if there's a guy out wide, you know, Zinchenko can watch the ball a little bit too much and the ball can be popped over his head out wide or just behind him. And by the time he realises what's going on, it's too late, as we saw yesterday. Same with Delph, is not as bad. I think Delph is more defensively aware than Zinchenko. But Delph is the same. He's not a left back. He's a midfielder. So he's slotting in there and there's only stake in him as well. But not as much as Zinchenko. So it really depends who's going to play. Walker, some of our fans are saying, I mean, Andy on our channel, Man City Fan TV, there's a quick plug in there, he said Walker needs a rest. You know, he's basically come from the World Cup. He's not had a rest. He's got a mistake in him. He does switch off. He'll bomb forward. And if we lose the ball, he'll come back quickly, but he's out of position. So there's a mistake in Walker as well over the top. And I think if anybody's going to have any success against it, it's against those fullbacks.
Okay, Ray, just very quickly then, let's get a score prediction from you, please.
Last three games have been 3-1 to City at home. They've been against good teams, Everton, Bournemouth and United. But when we play a low-level team, it's been like 6-1, 6-1, 5-0.
Come on, mate.
Low-level, mate. Low-level.
You'll be 5-1 to City.
5-1 City.
Oh, we're actually going to score. That's actually nice.
It was nice and kind, as you're speaking to you.
Everybody in the last seven games has scored, so you've got just as much chance as everybody else.
Ray, thank you so much for your time this evening. That was Ray from Man City TV. So, guys, how do you go about it? Do you think it's actually feasible? Because it's a good point, actually. Lots of teams have attacked them. So how do we go about it? And let's get a score prediction nice and quickly, please.
I think Ray's right. We've got to attack, but we won't. We'll play 4-4-2. We'll try and keep it tight.
Any strikers?
We might try a striker for a bit of fun. I think we'll probably lose it 3-0, in all honesty.
Minimum 5-0. I think that's how it starts. Because every time I witnessed this team lose 5-0, and we
at least try and pretend to be
positive. But we haven't scored. Our league aggregate score.
You just beat former Premier League champions Leicester.
Yeah, our league aggregate score at Man City is 18-0.
This is about the Dr. Pepper, isn't it?
It's not letting it go all night.
If we score a goal, that's fantastic. Let's just say that.
Wonderful stuff. Well, thank you.
5-1.
It's two losses, but guys, I don't blame you. Man City are really quite good. Thank you for your time this evening. This was the Crystal Palace Fan Show. DR and Hambo are from Back of the Nest.
Your news, your views, your voice. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Have you been injured in a road traffic accident, an accident at work, or an accident anywhere? It's your right to claim. You could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Harris Fowler, a specialist personal injury solicitors, with a 96.9% success rate, offering no win, no fee. Call 0800 213 214 to find out if you have a claim. 0800 213 214. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitors. Win rate based on cases issued and finished between the 1st of January and the 31st of December 2017.
30-30 tennis is the new alternative scoring format that creates shorter matches. The clue is in the name. Every game starts at 30 all. That is 30-30. Best of three sets matches are completed in 40 to 60 minutes and best of five in 60 to 90 minutes. 30-30 or T30 can be described as the younger sporting sibling of cricket's 2020 or T20. For more information, visit 3030tennis.com. That is T-H-I-R-T-Y, then the digits 3 and 0, followed by tennis, all one word, .com.
Do you wear glasses? Think you're paying too much for your glasses?
Yeah!
Want to try them out before you buy? Then go direct to Glasses Direct and get two pairs of new glasses with lenses from just £19. And with our free home trial, you can test drive them on friends and family before you buy. It's that easy. So, for your new glasses, you should go direct to glassesdirect.co.uk. New customers only, delivery £3.95. Conditions and exclusions apply. See website for details.
Could you offer an abandoned or unwanted dog a loving home? If you can, All Dogs Matter would love to hear from you. Every year, All Dogs Matter rescue and rehome around 400 dogs across London and the home counties. But without people like you, this simply wouldn't be possible. Through no fault of their own, these dogs urgently need new loving homes. All Dogs Matter are counting on you to give one of our dogs a second chance in life. Visit alldogsmatter.co.uk.
Taking antibiotics when you don't need them puts you and your family at risk of a longer and more severe illness. Always take your doctor's advice. Search NHS Antibiotics.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey.
James, today's teaser involves goalkeepers. You're a goalkeeper, but I don't think it's you, is it?
No,
you're not the answer.
I have never won Premier
League. If you are the answer, what is the question?
Who's gone on the longest record run without a clean sheet? That might be me, I don't know. Actually, that's not true. I've got two this year. No big deal.
No, it really isn't. So.
It's the Brian Moore Show with the Pitbull and James Greyhound Grey. Join the pack weekdays from 3 p.m. on Love Sport. We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. Each Saturday from 2:30, we'll be celebrating your teams. We'll be covering all the games, all the goals, and we'll be giving you your London scores first.
The Score with James Sherwood and Richard Lee.
Brilliant goal!
Giving you all the latest news, and we'll let you share your views, good or bad. We want to hear from you. Give us a...
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.